are the freaks. I'm getting bored.
Freaks.
Hello and welcome to episode 38 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's usually about talking about movies, but tonight we're going to talk about our favorite TV shows instead. Actually, we're going to talk about American Horror Story, Gotham, and then we're each going to pick our favorite TV show. And before
that's
we jump into that, I am Perry, and here are my co-hosts, Christine and Angie.
Hello!
Hey, everybody.
All right, so we're kicking things off with American Horror Story,
Well, we
right?
do want to point out, it's Halloween, and as we're
important.
Recording on Halloween, we're having some trick-or-treater interference, so we're going to make this part of the game. And if you hear the doorbell go off, we have someone on duty taking care of trick-or-treaters, but if you hear that, just take a drink of your beverage.
Cheers!
Well, cheers from us.
Yo, here, well, let us show you how it's done.
Is that supposed to be a doorbell?
That's what your doorbell sounds like.
That's what Christy sounds like every time she takes a sip of something.
I become Johnny Depp in any movie from the past 10 years.
Well, we're not talking about movies today.
We're not.
Talking about TV.
By the way, someone just knocked at the door.
Oh, drink!
It's not trick-or-treater, though. All right, so first up is American Horror Story Freak Show. So this season obviously takes place in a freak show, and Jessica Lange plays Elsa, who is the head of Elsa's Cabinet of Curiosities, and basically what's going down is that Freak Show is like a failing business. It's not doing well anywhere, and they're one of the last surviving ones, and they're based in Jupiter, Florida, and they're just having a tough time. They can't get their show off the ground. The townspeople hate them. The local cops hate them. And then on top of that, there also happens to be a murderous clown roaming around, killing people and kidnapping people, and because the local cops hate them, they blame it on the freaks, and there's all this crazy shit going on. There's people with all sorts of, like, talents and, like, crazy things about them, and I love it. I'm obsessed. It's pretty much one of the best settings you could possibly come up with for an American Horror Story season. I think I'm having more fun, especially with the visuals. Like, the wide shots of the freak show to me will just never get old. Like, they could just sit on those shots and pan across the freak show, and I'll eat that up.
How do you think it compares to other seasons? Because you've been following the other seasons a lot more closely than I have.
So far, I think my order is, and obviously I can't judge this for sure until you've completed this one, but I'd still go Murder House, which is the first season. I think I'm having more fun with Freak Show than I even had with Coven, which would be my next one. And then my bottom is Asylum. I do like a lot of Asylum, but that is one of the most, like unorganized, all over the place seasons of American Horror Story there is, because, like, there's serial killers.
But they do kill Adam Levine in it.
All right, well, there's one plus, but there's too much going on, and actually that has me nervous, because they just made that announcement that Sister...
Neil Patrick Harris? Sister Eunice is coming in.
She's
Lily Rabe.
But, like, the only thing that makes me hopeful is that, like, that Freak Show takes place before Asylum, so she can't be possessed. So then we don't have to run the risk of bringing possession into the mix, too.
I guess.
Because, like, I didn't like Asylum because it was all over the place.
Oh, that's fair. So my thing with Freak Show is, and I'm not sold on this yet, but my concern was, as soon as I heard this announced, I was like, oh, like Todd Browning's Freaks from 1939, which if you haven't seen Freaks from 1939, look that movie up. It's really incredible. But, and there's definitely moments of that where you're like, oh, you're totally riffing from Freaks. Fair enough. It's a great movie. I totally get stealing from it. But I take issue with the fact that so much of the freaks that we're spending time with, and I'm using freaks because of the term the show uses, so just bear with me, it makes everything easier, are, like, actors who have no...
They're completely, like, able-bodied, normal,
and then
normal
they're shining it
people.
On. Whereas, and I mentioned this to Perry, especially this past week, which I don't want to get too into details of what happened in case people aren't keeping up, but if you are keeping up, you should check Perry's other podcast following Freak Show. But this week, Paul the Illustrated Seal, who is a guy who does perform...
One of the best actors on the show.
He has a really
actor.
Great scene, and it made me wish that he had been cast in the Jimmy Darling role.
It just made me wish in general that, like, as you pointed out, like, you would think, you know, this whole season is about freaks and people who, like, look different physically.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, like, it's crying out for them to
and
cast.
And I guess that it's their thing that they recast people, and I don't have a problem with that. It's just a shame to me that I feel like the people who do have these differences and who are, they're given moments, but so much of the time they feel like they're being used as set dressing as opposed to
characters.
I don't
want to take away from the work that the other actors are doing.
No, it's not about that. It's
like the only reason I get defensive
role,
when you say, like, I
sure.
wish he was cast in the Jimmy Darling role is because I actually think this is one of Evan Peters' better seasons.
Yeah, Evan Peters is doing really well. This is not a criticism of Evan Peters.
Yeah.
But it's like, if there was ever a role that Paul the Illustrated Seal should have been cast in,
look, like,
it,
if there was ever a role that seems like, oh, this is a role that specifically calls for someone who is not, you know, like, traditionally handsome
yeah.
looking.
And
like,
I know some people are going to be like, that's what acting is. And no, absolutely. But what I'm saying here is that I feel like it's odd that the show wants to talk about how these people are people too and how, you know, they like us, have their angels and demons and all that. But then the people who actually are dealing with these things are being kind of shoved to the side.
I feel like the show's kind of tricky. Like, I, you know, because of that, there's a lot of them that really are just treated as set dressing. Like, for example, they have, like, they cast, like, the smallest woman in the world.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of, like, treated like a prop, and I don't like that.
Literally carried around.
Like, people, like, literally carry her around. She's, like, a 20-year-old woman that they treat like she's, like, an infant or, like,
yeah.
or like a chihuahua, and I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it's
you know,
it's
one problem with that, and, like, I don't mean this to say it's her fault, but I don't think she speaks English very well, so
she might not be a trained actor,
like,
and I get it.
Yeah, that too, so I don't think she can handle what someone like that.
Like, there were a lot of entertainers. Like, Paul is an entertainer, but man, just the monologue he had this
week was
so good.
You know, I noticed that before I even saw a single episode of the show. I wrote a whole piece about the, they were doing the Extraordinary Freaks, Extraordinary Artists, series where they do little featurettes on the people
yeah,
who actually had what they
yeah.
did in the show, and he was one of them. And the second I watched that, I'm like, I'm, like, just completely enamored by you, man. Like, it doesn't matter what you say or do. I want to watch you on screen.
Yeah. You know, I feel like it's not an either-or. Like, I feel like it doesn't have to be Evan Peters or that guy.
Yeah.
I feel like what I wish had happened was that they had, like, brought more of these actors into the fold as main
okay.
characters.
Yeah.
Rather than just as,
well,
like, kind of supporting or set dressing.
I don't know
what I wish.
Because also, there is, and I'm nothing against Kathy Bates, though the Baltimore accent, I can't.
Yeah.
But, like, apparently it's dead on.
Can we all drink for the accent? That requires drinking.
Apparently the Baltimore accent is dead on, whatever. But there are actual bearded women, and, like, one of them who lives in New York, like, she does perform, and, like, it kind of made me sad that, like, there are people that could have potentially taken on these roles and made us think about them as more than some fictitious
well,
thing.
Well, I guess, but I still think Kathy Bates is perfect in that role.
But that's what I'm saying.
She's a very good actor.
No, I get, no,
but
I get
you
that.
Know,
but it's
you
like,
know that casting isn't just about casting.
It
like,
isn't just about that, but
for,
you could say that just about, like, about any TV or movie show. Like, oh, cast a real cop, cast a real this. Like,
I don't
no,
think
that's
a different
thing.
Okay,
well, consider this. Like, someone like the guy that plays Paul the Illustrated Seal, he's not going to get cast in, like, you know, as Captain America. Like,
he has different
opportunities open to him, and this was a perfect chance to bring him in. But like I said, I don't think it should be either or. Like, I'm not saying, like,
to me,
oh, out with, like,
yeah, I don't think it should be either
Peter.
Or. Right now, I think there's a very clear line between main character and supporting character,
yeah.
and none of the real freaks, I hate using that term
yeah,
now, but like, not like,
sake
not
sake
like calling them monsters is any better, which Elsa seems
just
to prefer.
Just call them freaks,
so
that's what they are in the show.
I don't think that relegating the actual freaks to supporting characters, which is what the show is doing now, is fair. But at the same time, I also don't think it's fair to be like, oh, a person who really had that should have been
cast in that role. But I'm saying, and that's exactly true, because there are definitely, like, I'm not saying that, like, oh, well, they should have only, that would have felt like stunt casting, especially if people weren't it good in those roles.
I feel like what you're saying is that we should have brought,
specifically,
we should have brought more of them into the main cast as opposed to the supporting cast.
Yeah.
I get that. But, I mean, like, you know, other than that, I just feel like this season has been a little bit slower than other seasons, and I don't know, I'm undecided on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, and it's really too early in the season.
I think it picked up with the last episode.
I'm kind of liking it, because even with everything that happened with Jimmy, if, like, all that crap with Meep and just his attitude didn't happen in the three episodes beforehand, the ending of episode 4 would not have felt the same way that it does.
I also just feel like the whole Jimmy plotline is just hard for me, because I feel like it's just too easy, because people who already like this show are already going to like that character because it's played by the guy it's played
by. No. I would say for me personally, I say the opposite.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems too easy, and, like, I don't know.
I don't think
and
there's
I say,
anything
you know,
but
I say the same thing with Jessica Lange, too. I feel like this is one of the worst seasons for her. I think that the character...
Her backstory, by the way,
I think that the character
makes zero sense to me.
It...
It does not pass the smell test to me. Like, when she... Because they show you this horrible thing.
It's an excuse for incredibly, like, striking, like, you're just
also,
like,
how are they allowed to put all that on television? I was shocked.
There's more than that.
And, like, not in a way of where I was like, I can't believe, but just, I was surprised. Like, I watch British television, and then I watch American television, and we are such weenie, like, little, like... We're wusses when it comes to this stuff.
Well, I'll agree. Her backstory is, like, not strong whatsoever. And I don't think the way they're... She's basically a different character in every single episode, the way she behaves. And she's such a fucking sucker now. I can't stand it. Like, she falls for everything. And that's not the character I wanted from her. But I think one of the biggest problems
with that is that...
It also
doesn't make sense
for
her to have survived this long and to be so gullible that she's...
And, like, have a business.
Yeah.
But... I can't help. Like, I think the pressure is almost on them more so if they've been on previous seasons. Because I look at this character and, you know, I have to compare it to the other ones. First of all, because there is some similarity to all the characters she's played. But also because, like, she is Jessica Lange. She's back on American Horror Story. And, like, this character is noticeably weaker than anyone else.
So, to wrap up, what are our thoughts on Freakshow?
I'm obsessed with it. Like, all the flaws aside, this show is just entertaining through and through. I don't care how crazy some of these storylines are, if they don't make sense, if it gets a little melodramatic every once in a while, but, like, this is just fun to watch. I never want it to end whenever the episodes come out.
I mean, it's a soap opera, so I can excuse a certain level of, like, that doesn't make any sense. But it was just kind of, like, I was really enjoying her backstory until, like, the final beat, and then I was like, nope, I don't believe that. But, like, I am not enjoying this as much as the other seasons I've watched, and it kind of bums me out because I felt like the other ones sometimes move, like, potentially too fast, but this one I was...
Coven,
like,
moved very fast.
I actually haven't seen Coven yet.
A lot of them
burned
through, like, four seasons of storyline.
Yeah, we were like,
where are we
going to
go? And, like, this one, I felt like they did some really interesting things. There are some things in the cast I really like the guy who plays the clown is great, and I don't want to say anything else.
Dandy is my favorite.
God, Dandy.
I love him.
I have feelings about that. And, like, I hate him, but, like, I think it's good that I hate him, so
it
whatever.
Is good.
I'm supposed to hate him.
Yeah,
but
that,
like,
is why
I
love
know,
him.
Man. I'm, like, torn. I'm, like, I've watched the first, four episodes?
Four episodes, huh?
And I don't actually like the show yet. I'm mostly watching it because everybody else is watching it, and I want to be in the conversation.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm enjoying it, but I'm still in, like, okay, let's see where this is going, and... I'm of two minds about the fact that the season feels slower. On the one hand, I'm like, well, maybe that means it'll, like, not go off the rails as quickly. But on the other hand, I'm like, okay, but let's get to some crazier shit. And it's picking up a little bit, but I'm
fucking clown stabbing wasn't crazy enough shit for
well,
you.
Let's move on to crazier shit.
Yeah. Yes. So, speaking of crazy shit and freaks of all kinds and, like, colorful characters.
Totally true.
Right.
Gotham. These shows could not be more similar.
They actually are pretty similar. So Gotham, in case you somehow have been living under a rock and haven't heard, is basically a Batman prequel, but it's centered around Jim Gordon. You know, the guy played by Gary Oldman in, like, the Dark Knight movies.
Now I get it.
Oh, that Jim Gordon.
Right.
Wait a minute.
But then, so it's really, as the title suggests, it's really about the city of Gotham.
The
Jim
city.
Gordon, right. We'll get to that. Jim Gordon is the main character, but, like, you know, you see, like, kind of, like, younger, like, pre-versions of all of the famous characters, including Batman, obviously.
It's origin story Palooza. There's
Catwoman
in the movie.
There's,
river.
Like, there's, and not
Penguin,
origin story, like, Miller. Batman Begins origin story. Like, the Batman in this is, like, 10 or 12 or something. And there's, you know, there's, like, all the famous villains.
He's still wetting his bed. I bet that'll be an upcoming plot point. That hasn't happened, but I bet it's happening.
But yeah, there's, like, Catwoman, there's the Riddler.
There's gonna be Poison Ivy.
There's gonna be Poison Ivy. There. So that's what it is. Oh, the Penguin. He's, like, the most important one so far. And I feel like, this is a show that, like...
I feel like we need a drink for that.
I feel like Angie has all the feels.
So this is a show that I find so frustrating because there's... I can see how it could be good, but it's not good. And I feel like there's so many problems with it, and the biggest problem I have with it is just by being a prequel, there are certain rules that they have to follow.
Yeah.
There are certain directions that the story needs to take. Like, for example, a lot of the conflict right now and a lot of the themes is like, can Jim Gordon clean up Gotham? And it's like, no, we know he can't, because if he does, then Batman wouldn't exist, and this is a fucking Batman
and
prequel.
They keep alluding to Batman before Batman, they're like, it just seems like cops aren't enough. And I was like, yes, no, we know.
Like,
we
no,
know.
There's a scene
it's
of, like, baby
like,
Bruce.
The city doesn't need cops or something.
Oh, but
no,
they legit...
The city needs something else.
They legit did the Chinatown line. I forget in which episode where they're like, it's Gotham, Benjamin. And I was just like, I can't, guys. I can't write. We get it. And, like, Angie was making fun before because they keep calling it the city.
Oh, no. So this is the thing. Okay, so, you know, as I said, this it's about the city. I get that. It's one of those things where, like, guys, you know, like, it's almost like the city's another character. And people
alternate
talk
title
about
is,
it.
We need to talk about the city.
The city.
People talk about it all the time. They always say it in that tone. The
it's,
city.
It's an excuse for everything. Like, if
but
something
it,
goes wrong, it's the city's fault.
It's
but they're always like, they say things like, the city is sick. The city is making me sick. The city wants this. And these are actual lines from the show. And it's starting to piss me off because, like, the thing is, like, I feel like they're thinking on such a macro scale that it's not working on, like, a micro level. Like, it's not... They're too busy being like, big themes! Like,
yeah.
You know.
I kind of wish
that,
like,
they
even though that
they
refer
so
to the city like that,
the show
feels, like, oddly small. It's
yeah.
Because everyone
knows
like,
each other.
I guess.
And
because there's, like, as big as this city is, that anytime they need a big, expansive shot, there's a million people running around, there's, like, 10 characters we talk to.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I mean, like, I like elements of it. Like, I think the girl who plays Selena Kyle, like,
she's
babies,
fun.
She's so much fun. And,
I
like
her. There's
she's
something,
just
like,
the coolest 13-year-old alive.
Yeah,
and, like,
I like
how she plays into the Catwoman mythology. Like, I'm like, no, I totally see that. But, like, it feels, like, subtle a little bit, but everybody else is just like,
That's another problem.
Oh, my God.
Shit, that's
stop.
So heavy-handed. And, like, the fucking coffee
I wish
mug
they would stop calling
with the question mark on it.
Yeah, I wish they would stop calling him Nygma, because we get it. His name is Edward Nygma.
What happens?
Anybody that watched Batman cartoon in the 90s gets it. Start calling him Ed, because every time they say Nygma, I just roll my eyes. Like,
this is
yes,
the,
we know.
This is the kind of show where they because you know he's going to be the Riddler guy, so then they'll have to be like, that guy's really good at puzzles. That guy's always asking me about riddles. Like, these are actual lives.
Stop with
the
puzzles, Nygma.
And that's what I mean. Like, I feel like my biggest problem with the show is that
I'm impersonating Donald Logue, in case that's not clear.
My biggest problem with the show is, I love him.
It took until... Like, not this past episode, but the episode before, where all of a sudden I started to be like, you know,
I thought this past episode was
different. I got used
to
you. I buy your shtick now, and you know what? It's different than everybody else, so
I
you
like
are more fun now.
I'm not making fun of him. I like him in this, but it's like, he's definitely to me. But it's like, then some of the other characters, like, the Penguin is
Fish
so heavy-handed.
Oh, I love him. I don't care.
I love.
You know,
I think the Penguin is
oh,
good.
I'm the opposite. I
oh
love the Penguin. I think he's so theatrical and crazy, but it works so well.
But that's one of the problems of the show. Like, this, one of the problems with the show is that they're having a lot of trouble trying to figure out what tone they want to settle on.
That's
like,
true.
Sometimes it's, like, over-the-top campy.
And
sometimes it's gonna be, like, gritty and dark. And, like, sometimes it's just, like, fucking Bruce watching TV at home. And you're just like,
oh my
why
God.
Did I watch it?
Okay.
This is so boring.
I actually just want to throw in, I do like Fish Mooney a lot, played by Jada Pinkett Smith. There's some stuff in there where she's just so over, like, I just feel like, she is just living it, and I love it. But baby Bruce Wayne is a wet blanket,
so boring.
And I can't. I can't with him.
He better do something soon.
He better have a plot point soon, because so much of it is just him going like, Jim Gordon,
and
why are people bad to each other?
Let's like, flip through files the entire episode.
Oh my God.
A lot of it is,
no,
I think this is
it. Wait, did they explain how he got the cop files? Because I either missed that, or, but he has like pictures of his dead parents on the coffee
also,
table, and Alfred's like, where did you get those
pictures? This is a 10-year-old who is like, wants to spend all of his like free time looking at like real estate contracts.
Jim Gordon brings it over at a point, and then I think he takes it, because Alfred goes to him, how'd you get that? And I think he says something like, oh, it wasn't that hard.
Oh, it's just,
No, I mean, that's not
a weird
excuse.
I just don't care about him.
That's a good way to describe him.
It's like, yeah, it's like hard that, like, Batman is the least interesting episode. And then I wish I was saying at the other end of the spectrum, I was like, Batman is the least interesting thing about this show because everything else is so interesting, but it's just like...
Well, can I ask you guys a question? Like, what do you... So, obviously, all of us have a lot of problems with the show. What would you do to fix it? Because I have some ideas. I feel like my biggest thing that I would do to fix it is... To me, the biggest problem with the show is that it's like so obsessed with being a prequel that it's like not good at being its own thing.
Yeah,
so
it's not
if it were up to me, what I would do is like kill an unkillable character. And be like, oh, you know, like, you thought like this guy was gonna turn into the Penguin, let's kill him off. Now we're playing by different rules.
I don't either, Barbara.
She's such a time suck.
And
wait,
we know
it's like
that
they
she's
just
gonna
throw her in there for the hell of it.
She's only again, she's only in there for the wet blanket factor, so someone can go to him, Jim.
So that's
like,
so what you're feeling.
It's
so tell me what's
other,
bad.
And like, is it the same thing with those other two detectives that are constantly on her and like have that weird relationship with her?
Oh, like
that.
And also, they like throw in the lesbian love affair. Like, I don't. It's. I mean, we're in 2014, it's not shocking as a plot point, but
no,
they keep bringing back to
I don't think it's supposed to be shocking, but I feel like she's there so that someone can be more of a wet blanket than Jim Gordon, who was already a wet blanket.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. Somebody has to be like, Jim, I don't understand what's going on. But then they're trying to make her strong, but, like, I don't know what she does outside of worry about him.
I did like Lily Taylor's cameo, though.
Who?
She was fun. She was in, like, episode 2.
The one where they put the kids on the bus.
She was that one.
What do you guys do to fix the show? Like, what do you think is, like, the biggest problem with the show?
I would like them to narrow in and stop making this such a, like, because it's every episode, every character has to make an appearance, which makes it feel really crowded and disorienting.
Yeah.
I would really like it for it to narrow in and be like, this is going to be a Catwoman episode, and you'll meet some other people, but, like, let her have a story. Because, like, there was an episode where she had, like, part of the story, but then they also kept running off with Jim Gordon.
For an episode called Selina Kyle, it actually had not that much for Selina Kyle.
But it's, like, so much of it has to go back to, like, this bigger story they're telling, and I just don't find that as interesting.
What about you? I think it's going to take a lot to fix the show. I think it's just all over the place and needs to be tightened up.
Do you think there's hope for it? No.
To be honest, I'm probably not going to watch it anymore after this podcast. I haven't been enjoying it. My favorite part is the penguin stuff. That's the only part that I'm enjoying, and I feel like he actually has, like, a bit of an arc that spans all 6 episodes. Like, he's got, like, a little journey there.
He has more of a storyline than anyone, including Jim Gordon.
And he's fun
who's
to watch,
his
too.
Mom? She was in Scrooge. Help me out.
Oh, I don't remember.
I've heard her name.
Carol Kane.
Kane.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
As his mom, I like a lot, because she just seems like an aristocrat from the 1920s that came out of nowhere and says terrible things about women. And, like, I love
and
her.
And has just been, like, sitting in the apartment ever since.
Yeah. I also like the crime dramas that are episode in. Like, there was a really fun one about a guy who killed with balloons.
I liked
Balloon
him.
Balloon Man was a fun one.
I was very into the Viper thing. Viper or Venom? I was into that when it was, like, happening to the individual people. The second they, like, put it in
we've tapped on the problem is it's just trying to do way too much.
It's so incredibly messy.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just, like, it feels like they had, like,
they
took every idea they had
everyone.
And just, like, threw it at the wall and was like, here's the episode. And it's like, no, you need to, like, calm down.
Yeah.
But like I said, my even bigger problem is just, like, I feel so much like I know where the story is going. Stop putting characters in mortal danger that I know can't die.
It's still,
that
like, the whole
shtick
of, like, these characters are the characters you know, but when they were young. It's
I keep
like,
wanting them
to there's
just
no,
people
there's nothing,
like,
to fight for in the immediate, you
exactly.
Know?
That's why I think I like Fish Mooney and the...
She's the only one that we don't know where she's going.
Yeah, and, like,
she's the
only one
that you're, like,
what is the deal with this? Like, that's something interesting
she
and
She just
exciting.
Annoys me. Like, I don't even know what she's trying to achieve.
I don't know why her name is Fish Mooney and no one talks about that.
Seriously, like, what the fuck? Like, I think her restaurant thing is named Fish, right? Alright, maybe
it's
that's
weird.
Something.
I feel like being a lady gangster named Fish is really off-color.
And, like,
why?
I don't care if you're a lady gangster or anything. Like, that's a stupid name.
Yeah, like, if you're a gangster, Fish to me implies, like, sleeping with the fishes. It's a whole thing.
It's
anyway.
Like, the second I heard her casting and I found out her name was Fish Mooney, I'm like,
It's fun to say, though.
Yeah.
But to wrap up, so Gotham. Any hope for Gotham?
Yeah, I'm not watching it anymore.
Probably watch it on
I'm gonna go catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm kind of curious to see what it'll be like in a season, but I don't think that the season is
that's
good.
That's totally true.
Here.
I would probably...
Like, I think someone asked me the other day, like, because I said that the last episode was my favorite so far, and someone's like, so should I, like, start watching again? I was like, no, like, wait a season and see if it improves, and then think about it.
Yeah.
But right now, we're not at the
first seasons are always kind of rough anyway. So let's move on to shows we are excited about.
Yeah.
I'm gonna introduce it, so do you guys want me to start with my pick?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay, so my pick, totally off
it up.
Off of
this
everything.
This is just, like, shows that we tried to each pick shows that the other two weren't watching, so that we could talk about, like, why people should watch it.
Exactly. So for my pick, I went completely away from what we were talking about, and I picked Steven Universe, which is a show on Cartoon Network that I am obsessed with. It's actually, the theme song is the ringtone on my phone right now. I spent an embarrassing amount of time figuring out how to make that happen. It's a show about a little boy named Steven Universe, and his mother was a superhero who's part of the Crystal Gems, which is an all-woman superhero unit. And when she died, he inherited her powers, so now he's part of the Crystal Gems. And it's like all these grown women and Steven, who's like 8 years old, 10 years old, and, like, he's a little kid, and, like, he really wants to be, like, powerful and strong like these women, but he's a little kid, and so he makes dumb mistakes, and it's very sweet and funny, and there's, like, a lot of songs in it, and, like, a recent episode was he tries to learn his powers, and, like, one episode recently that I think you two would both love, as an example, and they're 15 minutes, they're totally, like, easy to digest, he was trying to learn to shapeshift, and he was trying to become a cat, but instead he turns all of his fingers into kittens.
Okay.
So he is like,
I am interested.
Yeah, but they like don't like water, so and he can't hold things because his fingers are kittens, so it becomes like a problem. And he has to like deal with it.
Shit.
And it's such a weird show, But it's so funny.
My mind is blown.
I know. Me too. Like, that was the thing. I think that might have been the first episode I watched. I was like, what is happening? And it's just such an odd little show. But it's written by, or it's created by Rebecca Sugar, who wrote some of my favorite Adventure Time episodes. So if you like Adventure Time, you should completely be watching Steven Universe.
Is this something you have to watch in order?
No, no. There's like a bit of an arc to it, but I feel like if you know what I just told you, you're fine. But it's cool because you get to watch him learn his powers, and you get to watch him learn more about the gems, because he didn't know his mother very well. I actually missed the early part of this season, but the first season is still going on, and a lot of it's on demand. But like, it's really sweet and funny, and like, you know, they tell him, like, well, your mom had healing power. She healed with her tears, and he has to learn how he can heal with his tears. But spoiler, it's not his tears that he has to heal with. It's adorable.
Oh, no.
No, it's actually really sweet and funny, but it's, like, a very sweet show, and it's a show that does interesting things with gender roles where, like, no one ever comments on the fact that a little boy is trying to be like these women. It's not considered weird because they're powerful, and they're superheroes, and they're cool, so why wouldn't he want to be like them? Like, we never have to address the fact, but they have lady parts. Like, it's not a big deal. And there's, like, you know, the characters are really fun, so there's also a character I think anybody would be attracted to. Like, Garnet is really tough, and she's voiced by Estelle, who's, like, a British pop singer, and she's
really cool. I know her.
And then there's, like, Amethyst, who's, like, really loosey-goosey and kind of wild and reckless and tends to hurt herself a lot, and she's kind of amazing. And then there's Pearl, who, like, kind of dresses like a ballerina and is a little sterner, and there's, like, all these wonderful elements to it, and it's just such a fun show, and especially, like, we're going into fall movie season, so a lot of us have been watching really long or really dark or really upsetting movies, and after that, I like going home and kicking back to some Steven Universe, because it just makes me incredibly happy, and like, the theme song is addictive, and I just keep singing it to myself and to my husband.
So, if we decide that we're going to start watching it, where do we find it?
It's on Cartoon
Network. I've actually literally never even heard of it before you told me about it.
I'm, like, becoming increasingly obsessed with it. It's on Cartoon Network, and they actually have a website where several episodes are available at any given time. So there's, like, 3 or 4 episodes you can watch there. And if you have cable, check your on-demand in Cartoon Network section, because there's a bunch there. And, yeah, I recommend Cat Fingers is very funny.
She was so right about, like, she was like, you guys like it. And I was like, I wonder where this is going. And she said the word cat, and I was like, you're right.
Go on.
Like it. Yes.
But yeah, I don't really think there's necessarily one episode's a better intro than the other, but it's really sweet because it's about this very sweet boy who wants to do good. And they manage to do all these fun stories about it where there's danger and there's fantasy and there's exciting things, but then occasionally he has to deal with some really hard realities, like that he didn't know his mom.
Mm.
And, like, it's never too, like, it's like, because sometimes Adventure Time can be, like, a little, like, intense, and you're like, oh, kids watch this? But, like, Steven Universe is a little easier to handle.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I highly recommend Steven Universe.
Well, I'm at least going to watch Catfingers.
Yeah, me too.
Win!
All right, so I guess I'll go next.
Sure.
All right, so the show that I would like to talk about is a show that unlike Steven Universe, you've definitely heard of this one. It's Elementary. It's on CBS, and it's a show, it's weird, because I know a lot of people watch it because the ratings are good, but no one I know watches it, which is why I want to talk about it. So,
I think you're the first person I've ever heard talk about it.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's the thing, the numbers
and I know
are big,
doing
but nobody's
well,
watching
it's in its third
it.
Season.
And it's got those huge, like, banners when I drive into
the
tunnel.
Yeah, they're spending a lot on advertising. Someone is watching the show.
It's doing
at least
really
one of
well, so... So that's the thing, though. Like, that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I know it's doing... I know a lot of people watch it, but apparently not the people that we know, so I wanted to talk about it. In case you couldn't tell by the title, it's, you know, it's a Sherlock Holmes story. It's modern-day. Sherlock Holmes is played by Johnny Lee Miller. His Watson is played by Lucy Liu. They live in New York. And I feel like one of the reasons that so many people that we know don't watch it is because as soon as people heard modern-day Sherlock Holmes, everyone went to, oh, so it's like a Sherlock ripoff. And honestly, when, you know, before the show started, I also thought that that was where it was going, but it's actually very different. It's, like, very much its own thing. My favorite thing about it is the Sherlock-Watson relationship, which is really different from a lot of the other ones we've seen, because usually I feel like you have, like, you know, Sherlock is just, like, such an asshole, but he's, like, weirdly charming and so brilliant, and people just put up with it, and he's, like, horrible, he's, like, a horrible person and whatnot, and, like, Watson just kind of, like, follows him around and be like, what are you doing? But, like, this is the one where there's a lot more give and take, it's a lot more even. This Sherlock is very different from, like, the Benedict Cumberbatch one, or the Robert Downey Jr. one, or the, you know, the one from House, played by Hugh Laurie.
Mm.
Like, he's actually...
I forgot about him.
He's a little bit warmer, not to the point where you don't recognize him, but it just kind of, like, casts the character in a different light. It also has a lot more to do with, like, his addiction issues, which is something that I don't think a lot of the other ones...
So it sounds like he's more interested in being in the world than the other Sherlock.
He absolutely is, which I think kind of just, like, gives you, like, a new twist to the Sherlock kind of mythology, because I feel like so many of the ones we've seen recently, he's not like that at all. And the other major difference is that the Watson character is... She's not just, like, some, like, person, like, some sidekick who follows him around and, like, cleans up his messes. Like, there's a real give and take. Like, she kind of demands that she is on an equal level with him, not necessarily as, like, you know, in terms of the work that they do, yeah. but just as, like, a person.
Is it, like, a mystery and episode type thing?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a procedural, but also, so, you know, it's, it, individually, the episodes are kind of, like, you know, they're kind of, like, Law and Order or whatever, like, you know, every episode, there's, like, some case that they're trying to solve, and there's also, like, a little bit of an overarching thing, like, mm-hmm. it's... I feel like you would gain something by watching it from the beginning and in order, because you kind of see how the relationship develops, and there are also, like, kind of bigger story arcs that are, that carry, that kind of, like, play out through the season, but you, it's also something that you could just, like, drop in anytime and watch, because there's always, like, a mystery of the week that they okay. just kind of start with, like, this person died, and it's awfully fishy, what are we gonna do, you know, so.
And where would people watch this? CBS, right?
It's on CBS. It's not hard to find. Everyone is watching this show,
real
except
channel.
For apparently everyone that I know. I'm not kidding. I feel like the fact that it's on CBS is one of the reasons people aren't watching
it. No, I think
it's
also, doesn't
CBS
not have stuff on Hulu? I feel like that's a thing, right?
Really?
I think
know.
So.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Because I remember,
Hulu.
Well, when I used to watch How I Met Your Mother, it was like always a pain in the ass to catch up on it because you had to watch it on their website. And CBS's website at the time was, like, really funky, where if you pause for a second, it would, like, start the episode over, and you're like, no, I just ran to get taco sauce. I don't know.
No, I just figured out something. I just figured out one
other way.
I'm always
running to get taco sauce. It's a real problem.
Who
obviously.
Is it?
I figured out one other way to sell the show to you specifically. There's a turtle. It's really cute. All
right, all right.
Go on. Just, like, to it. Chrissy and I are just like, let's think about all the animals.
Does this turtle have a name?
Clyde.
Oh, fuck, I'm in.
Yeah. No, Clyde it's really turtle. Cute. Sometimes they, like, use him in their mysteries. It's so cute. He's not in every episode, but you'll look for him. You'll be excited.
Oh, no, I want to watch it.
Exactly.
Alright.
Perry's easy, man.
I know.
Seriously. And the funny thing is, there's no animals in my show. There's not a single animal. I like Orphan Black. I just want to talk about that. I'm obsessed with the show. And I've been doing a voice podcast about it for a while. I just wouldn't say video podcast. I just call it a podcast.
It's a voice podcast.
But anyway, I'm starting a new trend. I've done a podcast called Clone Club for that show for a while now. And it is basically, I mean, you've probably heard about it, like, EW profiles it to no end and always puts it on its cover. Stars Tatiana Maslany as this young woman who just one day finds out that she is part of a set of clones. And it's about all these crazy things that happen to her and the different clones you meet. And how they kind of find out that they're clones and find out why they were made and... Oh, I want to, like, say
I
want
to be clear to drama, because you're making it sound like, she finds out she's a pot of clones, and wacky shenanigans happen.
No, not at all. No, it's pretty straight, and it's, I mean, it's like a pure drama, but I don't think you guys, I made
we
them come
it.
Over one night, and we binge-watched,
yeah.
like, 3 episodes in a row,
yeah.
4 episodes.
Like, it would have yeah. been more, but it had been a long week.
You're missing the clone that is both the most vicious clone and also the comedic relief, which
huh.
is a lot of fun.
Okay.
But... One of the best parts about the show, I think it's really smart. Like, obviously that sounds like it could be silly, the idea of someone being a clone and exploring the science of that. You would think that it would trip over itself and not make sense, but that's actually not the case. I mean, I'm not a scientist. I'm sure there are things that actually are not sound at all, but from my perspective, the show does one of the best jobs ever of establishing details in one episode and then respecting them, like,
yeah. like it's
weeks and weeks down the line.
Solid,
yeah,
from what we've seen.
Really solid, and... Holy fucking shit, she can act. Like,
she actually
yeah.
can't, like,
Tatiana Maslany nails every single character.
Also,
like,
she has scenes where she is playing 4 characters.
And the thing is, like,
and
it's
you,
not like an Eddie
like,
Murphy where everyone's like,
you guys haven't
her,
even
like,
seen the
all...
most recent season. Like, this isn't really... that much of a spoiler. I'm not gonna spoil plots, but there's a dance scene with, like, 4 fucking clones in it. Where they're just, like, going on all different planes of the frame and, like, crossing each other.
You know, honestly,
whoever
though, I gotta
makes
say,
that happen, holy shit.
She's very good, but that also means that she has some very fucking good body doubles.
That is true. That's
because
definitely true.
Yeah, but no, she actually is, like, I remember there's, In like one of the very early episodes, there's a scene where like one of the clones is pretending to be another clone, and you would think that'd be hard to pull
off.
Isn't
that incredible? And that's not the only time
that
happens.
You can figure out exactly like who she is because she's that good, even though they all look identical.
Yeah. And just everything around her is good too. There's one or two supporting characters. I told you the one I don't like. I'm still not a big fan of Paul, the boyfriend.
Yeah.
The boyfriend. But like,
well, it's a hard introduction. We're like literally the first thing you know about Paul is that he's beaten her.
Yeah, but I've seen more than that, and like Paul does not.
Okay, all right.
He's beaten her. Oh, you're talking about Vic.
About a different boyfriend.
See,
oh.
Vic is a lot of fun. Like they bring him to a good place in the second season. Like it's very interesting to watch.
She's
talking about Paul,
in the nice house.
The one who used to date
Beth.
Yeah. Like
he's kind of douchey.
He's kind of like stiff and doesn't really do very much. Yeah. But there's a lot of other fun characters that we get to meet and like explore further throughout the two seasons. Mm-hmm. Like I love her brother. Jordan Gavaris. I think he's just so natural and likable, and he's a perfect sidekick, and they don't just leave it at that. They do something to that relationship in the second season that I have a lot
what
of fun
season?
With.
Did they just finish
season
two?
Just wrapped, and I believe season three just started shooting.
How
has
the quality of the show been, like, throughout the...
I love it. There's like one or two episodes. I reviewed season two. There's one or two episodes in the second season, right smack in the middle, that I picked on because it was doing that thing where there were so many clones in play, and I was getting like little snippets of each, but not enough of one, and that was causing it to drag just a little bit. But like, I mean, regardless, that's just like, that's more of like an episode criticism versus like a whole season. Like what was happening to them in that moment was still intriguing me, but it didn't play as well as an episode.
So this is a Canadian TV show, which may be why people haven't heard it quite as much.
I've heard of it, but it's
been harder to watch. But it is on Amazon Prime.
BBC America.
BBC America, and it's on iTunes. Like you can get it that way.
Sure.
And I would say it's worth the money. Like that's probably my favorite.
Prime,
one of my favorite TV shows on right now. I mean, it's the quality is through the roof. She's incredible, and like sadly, I don't think it does as well. I think it sparked a lot of hype, and like also
I think it's not as many people have BBC America. Like,
that's definitely part of the problem. But
it
then again, I think they said that other new show Intruders started off with higher ratings than that.
I don't even know that show.
I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
It was like a brand new show.
There's
that just started.
Steve Intruders.
Yeah, really.
It seems to be one of those shows that people that like has like a small-ish but very devoted.
Holy
following.
Fucking shit!
Yeah.
That Comic-Con panel, you would not believe it. It was like one of the most touching things that I've ever seen. Because you know when you go into a Comic-Con panel and they have those like crazy people that get up and they're like, "Oh, I loved you. You changed my life.
I just want to touch your hair
like,
afterwards.
I was gonna die, but like you saved me.
Right,
and, like shit like that. Like,
and I understand that sentiment, but." When they're standing up in front of an auditorium full of people saying that, it just makes everyone
It's like every once in a while, like, that happens and you can't help but to roll your eyes.
There was a really good moment with that.
Holy shit. Like, there were a couple people that got up there and said some really touching stories, and they just, it was probably their presentation was better than other people's too, but the way that they, like, wove it into what they experienced in the show and how they just approached saying it to these people that they admire on stage, like, really blew my mind, and like, people brought them gifts, and it was fun seeing the gifts because they were so deeply inspired by what those characters look like. Like, one person brought Tatiana Maslany, you know, like, the Russian dolls, and, like, they open up, and they're all clones, and I'm like, shit, like... I want that.
I feel like we're getting a little off point, though.
Yeah, all right.
So, in conclusion...
The show is absolutely fantastic. It is one of the most well-made and well-acted shows on TV right now. And if you're not watching it, you're crazy. And she deserves that
Emmy win
at some point.
Apparently, the moment you do watch, you're going to be the kind of person that wants to make nesting Russian dolls.
I want
because
that.
Because you love it so much.
I do want that.
So, to surmise, I think we're saying Freak Show...
Yes. You guys are crazy. That show's so much fun.
No, I like it.
It's so much fun.
Okay, Freak Show, she likes the least. I like the middle, and she likes it the most.
Yeah.
Gotham, all of us are...
No.
And then, the shows we're recommending are Steven Universe,
Elementary,
Orphan Black.
Check them out, guys.
Happy Halloween.
Wait, we need to do an outro.
Fine. Go ahead.
Oh, right.
Don't you guys want to know where to find us? So, that's the end of this episode. We are on... YouTube, our channel is Popcorn Prosecco. There's popcornprosecco.com. We are also on Facebook, and we're on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. And then all three of us. Oh, wait. before that, iTunes also. And, like, go there, rate us, watch us, like us, because that really helps us a lot.
We
also,
forgot
we want to know what you think.
We need to read... Next week, we're going to read something from a fan that was actually really helpful, and I keep forgetting to bring
it.
But
I know
we
what
have
you're
it.
Referring to.
We'll bring it up, because someone wrote us something about Winter's Tale, and it was really great.
And
so
please,
we'll share that.
As that should show, talk
yeah.
back to us. We
yeah.
love it when you talk to
and
us.
And we will share it, I promise. Like, I meant to, and I slipped my mind, because... Sorry.
Yes.
All right, so that's where you could find us and also leave us some comments. And also, all three of us are all over the internet as well. Christy, you want to go first?
I'm at Christy Puchko on Twitter, and you can check out my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com because I'm writing all over the place, guys.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And I'm on Twitter at PNemiroff, and I write for collider.com. So thank you guys so much for watching. Happy Halloween!
Happy
and
Halloween!
We'll see
happy
you
Halloween.
Next week.
We didn't have a single trick-or-treater. Just take a shot.
Yeah,
now.
Seriously.
Sorry.
Woo!
Cheers.
That's what happens when you live in a New York City apartment building.
Mm-hmm. Don't call us freaks!